We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to take you live to Round Table Auditorium and the knighting ceremony of John Walker.
Ah, my Lord Vanderbilt, my Lady Rockefeller, so glad you could join us. Your seats are right down front, if you'll just follow me right this way.
Holy crap, Dave, the place is packed. I didn't think we had that much room.
Yeah, I know. We're not that big of a podcast. Dude, shut the door for crying out loud.
Okay.
I'm sorry, John, man. We didn't expect this many people. This is huge, dude.
I know. I'm all blushing. And
well, dude, you look fabulous. I love the suit. That is styling. Oh, yes.
This is the only time you will catch me in a suit without a kilt, I'm telling you.
We're
honored. I didn't know that they made them in that color.
Yeah, really? Is that a color? Is that a real color? How's your whiskey? You need a refill?
No. I think I'm buzzing pretty good now. Yeah.
A little liquid courage. Well, have a seat, man. It's gonna be at least a couple minutes before the ceremony actually starts.
Right.
So they're packing in standing room.
That's right. We got the standing seats going. It's awesome.
Very, very nice seats, gentlemen. Very nice seats.
Yes. Ooh. Well, we are the round table. We have a reputation to uphold.
Absolutely.
So, dude, I wanted to ask you. I've been wanting to ask you all for since you started doing this thing. What made you really just kind of step out of the conventional curve and come onto the podcast and offer up your story? I mean, that's not usual behavior for a writer. What motivated you to do that?
Well, basically, I knew that I needed work on the craft. I'd listened to your podcast before, you know, long time fan. Yeah. And
first time was, caller.
Oh, you know. But no, I just the idea is that I could get help when I know that my craft is good, but I can do better. And when two heads are better than one, then four must be, just holy shit.
Freaking amazing. Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Sure. Well, what did the experience help? What did it do for you? And what did you discover while we were playing around with your story?
Well, I discovered that nuking 15,000 words is painful.
Oh,
I was in therapy for about 15, 20 minutes, I'm telling you. then what happens? What you two and Mike Cole, yep. Seriously, if whoever's listening to this, buy his shit.
Yes. Okay,
the guy is awesome. But what you three did was just completely work me into, yes, this is where the story needs to go. This is where my mindset needed to go. And it opened up so many ideas.
Wow.
I got to tell you.
Excellent.
That's awesome. Can you, I know we don't want to give away secrets because the book's coming out soon, but.
Actually, it's coming out as soon. It's out right now.
That's beyond awesome.
I know.
Bye.
I know.
I'm going to go get it.
You ain't going nowhere. Sit your ass down, boy. We got a ceremony to do.
There's no need for duct tape over there, guys. Okay, seriously.
So can you give an example of one of the things that came up during the workshop that led you down this path of, oh my God, 15,000 words cut to the wayside?
Yeah. Brian, I blame you for this.
Oh, good.
when you said make the devil charming, mm. When you said that, and Dave, I don't know if you got your copy.
Yes, I did.
You did. I don't know if you looked over at any. You know.
Yep. I'm. I got through the first three chapters.
Oh, cool. So you know what you know how I took Nick and
yeah.
I made him a charming bastard.
Yes, indeed, and even made him a little vulnerable.
Well, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make, and that's, like I said, Brian had a hand in that, and Justin McCumber over at Dead Robots, awesome guy.
Oh, my yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Mad props to Justin.
Indeed. I mean, just would love to sit down and pick his brain for about, you know, 2 or 3 years. I'm like, crap, okay, I need to learn his stuff. And, you know, learning stuff with you guys was, like I said, what I learned was don't be afraid to go outside the norm. You know, podcast, throwing your idea out there saying, do what you will with it, please, don't be gentle. You know, yeah. it's it is my first time, but please don't be gentle. And
well, and you were a little reticent to share some of the details of the story.
Yeah.
And you know, understood. But did you, how do you feel about that now?
Next time I'm going to open my mouth a little bit more.
you hear that, future so guest writers? This is straight from the man here.
Yeah, I'm going to open up. Because what you have in your head, if you're lucky, 5% makes it onto the page.
Sure.
If you're lucky. Absolutely. So, and, you know, like I said, out of the, I think the original rough draft before the podcast was about 20,000. So, yeah, you know what I did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's 90% of the story reworked. That's huge. Yeah.
And it was great. It was like, yes, this is going to kill Gore.
I take it, you know, that you would recommend this experience to others?
I have.
Oh, you have?
I mean, I've told people, I'm like, look, if you have a story, if you have an idea, if you think you have an idea, give Dave and Brian a call. Drop them a line.
Awesome.
Send them alcohol. They'll go for it.
That's right. Sacrifices and gifts are always welcome. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very cool. So what's next on your docket?
Right now, book three of volume three of the Stafford Chronicles is being worked on.
Really?
Yes. Yes, and it's called The Blame Game.
Okay.
And it's featuring the Chinese pantheon of gods and also the I Ching. And if, for those of you who aren't just total, you know, mythology nerds like I am, the I Ching, not only does it foretell the future and stuff like that, but it also assigns blame. Hence, da-da-da-da.
The blame game. Very cool. Why don't you share with the world just a brief summary of the premise behind the Stafford Chronicles so everybody can get a taste of the awesomeness to come.
Definitely.
Oh, right. The Stafford Chronicles is, in a nutshell, a detective series with a contemporary fantasy twist. Tom Stafford is a private detective whose main clientele are deities. We're talking like all sorts of, you know, like from Jehovah, from Zeus, Apollo, just name a god that's out there, and, you know, that's got, you know, I mean, anything like the stuff you saw in Clash of the Titans, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Only it's set in modern day Virginia, which, you know, where I happen to live, you know, as opposed to past tense Virginia.
Stick with what you know, right? What you know, absolutely.
God, Dave, what did you put in this?
it's top shelf, whiskey. Baby. That's top shelf whiskey.
Whew, okay. but it follows his, adventures. It follows his first adventure, which is The Sincerest Form of Flattery. Also on sale now if you haven't picked it up.
At all fine e-outlets.
Exactly. Was the story of Tom trying to figure out who was killing all these people while they were in effigy of Greek gods.
Okay.
So it's kind of, electrocutions and impalements.
Drownings.
Crushing.
Okay.
It was only about 20 tons of dirt. Who cares?
that's crushing. Yes, definitely.
And then, of course, we've got, I did a free ebook, as a matter of fact, at kind of bridging between Sincerest Form of Flattery and the details, which is out right now, Parts of the Whole. Features some of the people in the background who make Tom who he is. So,
we get a little backstory on Tom then.
Exactly. Backstory on Tom, backstory on some of the people. I actually had people writing me, telling me, saying, hey, dude, what about, you know, tell me about his mom. What about his girlfriend? What about?
Oh, wow. Very cool.
So I was like, well, I don't have anything to do for the next 6 weeks. Let me just churn out an 18,000 word collection of short stories and
put it out
there for free.
Awesome. So the book that you completed based on your workshop is called In the Details.
Yes, it is.
And it's The Devil Falls on Hard Times.
You could say that. He's been accused wrongly of doing very, very bad things.
Like, but the devil.
The devil? Really? No.
Yes. Why, yes, Trebek, he is.
That's awesome. And it is available now at all fine e-outlets for anyone to gather and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous.
Kindle, Nook, iBooks. If you have a, I mean, I didn't even know Sony had something. The Kobo. It's the available. Kobo,
yeah, absolutely.
Wow, yeah.
Cool.
For our Canadian readers.
Very cool.
I love Canadians too.
That's awesome, John. That's just fabulous. And this is, whoa, fanfare. Guys, we got to go.
Well, it's time. Thank you guys.
Straighten up. Look sharp. All right, you ready?
No.
Well, whether you are or not, man, this is happening. All right. Here we go.
We can refill the whiskey later.
Yes, right. Put the glass down. You got to look respectable. All right. Here we go. Okay. Hear ye, hear ye. We are gathered here, dear friends, to celebrate a momentous event. An event that has, thankfully, occurred many times before in the history of literature. But today is different.
Today, we have the opportunity to recognize for the first, and certainly not the last time, an achievement that has made the world a little more awesome. A writer has finished a story.
This achievement is made even more astonishing because the writer turned away from the conventional path of solitary creation. Instead, he bravely strode forth and leapt into the unknown, offering up his idea to the Round Table.
The idea was a radiant jewel, but there are always aspects of beauty that we are blind to. And through the eyes of others, these facets can be revealed to shine brightly.
And so it was that John Walker came forth on June 12th, 2012, and shared his tale titled In the Details with Brian, myself, and the remarkable Mike Cole, who has proven himself on the literary field of battle with his superb novel, Shadow Ops Control Point, available in all fine stores and e-outlets.
Ideas flashed like swords in the noonday sun, striking sparks of inspiration wherever they touched. Shadows were revealed and dispelled. Inspiration flowed like rushing river, and in the end, literary gold was achieved.
And now, John Walker has taken that gold and done what no one has done before. Forged a tale with its auric splendor.
And so, for deeds of heroism in the face of tedious convention, for bravery and valor in welcoming others to play with his literary toys, and for the iron will to achieve what so many of us still strive for, the completion of his literary creation, we call John Walker to the stage.
Take a knee, John. By the power vested in us by over 30 workshop episodes with brave writers and astonishing authors and editors, we dub thee Sir John Walker, first knight of the Round Table.
Arise, Sir John, and accept our congratulations, our admiration, and our respect for completing your story and sharing it with the world. Do you swear to uphold and defend the virtues of the Round Table Podcast? To continue to write, to finish more stories, and make everything a little more awesome by sharing them with the world?
I so swear.
My lords and ladies, authors and writers, editors and publishers, we present to you Sir John Walker of the Round Table.
And there you have it, friends, the first of many knighting ceremonies to celebrate the highest achievement of any writer, the completion and publication of their literary work. Well done, John. We're proud to recognize you as the first knight of the Round Table. Sound effects provided by the Freesound Project. Find them at freesound.org.